CKU.
Good morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a music magazine show for you today with three pre-recorded interviews with Canadian artists. The first interview is with Totoro. Totoro is releasing his epiphanal behemoth and a new EP. The second interview is with Braden Dreger of Tea Dream. Braden speaks about his band. The third guest is Aradia for her latest singles, Fire and Soar. Both songs live up to their names. 8 a.m. brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings weather, and more music. Then we'll listen to a podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, why do fish have nostrils? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
thought of all that I could say to you. Even after all the things you put me through, I felt it in my veins. Still, I played all your games. Why was it so hard for me to see the truth? Everything I did is the same. Every time you walked away, every time I let you get the best of me, I let you stay. How are nothing's left to say? Who'll be the one to blame? When your shadow's all that's left for you, you know the name. Is this a part where I give in? Is this a part?
The federal election is on Monday, September 20th. Make sure you're registered to vote. If you are, you should get a voter information card in the mail from Elections Canada. It tells you where and when you can vote. If you don't get one by September 10th, or if the information on it is incorrect, visit elections.ca.
For the official information on voting and/or health and safety measures, visit elections.ca or call 1-800-463-6868. It's our vote.
Building off the momentum of the recently released gothic disco banger Behemoth, Toter O is dropping his Regenesis LP, a darkened concept album following the story of an artist coming to the realization that he does not need to be God, the ultimate creator, for his work to matter. Throughout the album, he also discerns that he does not have to work himself to the bone to ascend to the status of a true artist. With us today, we have Toter O. Hi, Toter O, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in the concept of Regenesis.
So I am Toter O, a composer, musician, songwriter based in Toronto. And my new album, Regenesis, is coming out Friday, September 17th. This album has actually been in the works for many, many years. A lot of the songs were composed and recorded in demo form back in as early as 2014, when I was still in university. And that collection of songs, of demos, was also called Regenesis. So it's been rolling around in my brain for about 6 odd years now. Actually, the track Siren Caller from my first album, The Emperor, was also on that original demo. And there are plenty of tracks from that original demo collection that didn't make it onto this album, but that's mostly because I don't have an orchestra to work with, and those were all composed for a much fuller ensemble. This album is a lot more bombastic than my previous efforts have been, but not in a way that requires a full string section. It's a album about art, about music, about sort of the process of creation, I guess, as, you know, shown through the title of having the word Genesis in there.
What are the themes of this album and what stories does it tell?
So there are a lot of motifs and themes that run through it, but the most consistent one to me is the idea of God as the artist, which is shown through various readings from the Book of Job, from the Bible. There's this sort of cosmic artist presence that is challenging the narrator of the album at almost every turn, saying, you can't make this, but I can. You'll never make anything as cool as the universe. Look what I can do. God's a bit petty here, if I'm being honest, but I guess he is the original story too, so it's not a huge rewrite. I don't want to make it seem like every song on the album is about the same thing, though. There are overarching themes of anxiety, God is the artist, etc., but each individual song has its own concept and story. So Exo Persona being about comparing oneself to their influences, being followed by Small, which is about feeling, you know, small and irrelevant, and Love You Later being about the present versus Exo Persona being about the past. And those three songs and all the songs on the album really lead into each other from thought to thought. So there is a narrative, but not a literal plot, I guess, or there is a plot, but it's, every piece of art has an internal and an external dimension. And I tried playing with that on each song. It's not a cause and effect relationship, but it's all tangled together. And hopefully that also comes through over the course of the 41 minutes.
Behemoth is your latest single. What is the process you go through when you write a song?
Behemoth, like just to use that one as an example, like that song has gone through so many different versions over the years, finally landed on this one. And I guess it was kind of difficult. For this specific track, not always, but for Behemoth specifically, I had to do the instrumental first and then the melody of the verses came to me through that instrumental. And then the words followed on from that. You mentioned earlier that it's like a gothic disco banger, and the melody kind of has this Donna Summer vibe to it, even though it's a little bit like Shushu and Donna Summer got together. Sometimes lyrics come first, sometimes music comes first, but sort of like what I mentioned just now about the internal and the external in the songs, the music and the lyrics are inextricably linked together, and they kind of form each other a lot of the time, especially on this album, in my opinion.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yeah, love that.
This is Behemoth on the Wednesday Morning After.
Tell me! Practice my lasso, 'cause I was told cowboys don't fade away. Wrangle my glory on his feet of clay. Before the sun sets. We'll be right back. abusive relationship with myself. Just ask my right hand. Will I ever learn to pace myself?
Before the sun sets,
let there be darkness all around. Until I strike that perfect sound. If I am needed, I can be found on the floor. Shame and all my pride, locking the best of me inside. If I was ever satisfied, well, no
Where will Regenesis take you this year?
I'm not entirely sure. I would love to play it live, but that will have to require me figuring out which venues in Toronto are open, which ones have closed forever, which ones are sprouting up. I guess the pandemic and the lockdowns have really thrown a bit of uncertainty into that, where you know, you create an album, but you can't perform it live. You don't really know what to do with it other than just try and get as many ears on it as possible. I would like to play it live at some point, or, you know, I would like to do anything live, and hopefully this album can take me there, but we'll just see how Toronto is with reopening. But like I said before, it's kind of my most bombastic piece yet. It's kind of like the biggest and most tightly composed and epic kind of piece, so hopefully people respond to that and just connect with the scope of it.
Who produced this album, and what was good about working together?
Okay, so this is actually the first album that I've had other hands on, really, in terms of the production and mixing and things like that. I produced most of the album, but the track Exo Persona was produced and recorded in 2018, actually, while I was studying at the Ontario Institute of Audio Recording Technology in London, Ontario, with my crewmates and friends, Devlin Brand, Sammy Van Galuken, and Jamie Platzer. And I really liked working with, I lied. Sammy also created soundscapes and ambience for my 2020 EP, Beasts of Venery. We actually did work together quite a bit. But anyway, the four of us worked really well together. I liked having three extra hands on this one track because it allowed me the space to trust somebody else with my compositions and implement their suggestions. You know, there's a reason that you work with the people you work with. So there was this great mutual respect. And I mean, obviously between any group of friends and collaborators, gentle, friendly disrespect, but they added a lot to that song in particular and really shaped it to what it was. And then Jordan Hsu, one half of the duo Cubs Refrain, and another really good friend and former roommate of mine, actually, mixed the track Love You Later, which that was the first time I've ever asked anybody else to mix one of my tracks. And he did such a good job bringing something to the track that I couldn't have done myself and just shaping the world of the song in a way that I absolutely love, and hopefully he and I work more together in the future.
May we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is the Butcher Shop on CKUT.
Thought you were different by a mile. Television sets, salt shakers, windows, keyboards with their myriad features. All these seem to prove me right. There's a man in the back room with his hand up her skirt, and I'm thinking I can see myself in your eyes. Those eyes blacker than mine, your skin too tight, your snout too wide to belong to me. But sometimes I think that I do. Staring at the cold slab, and the cold slab stares back also into you.
Look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. Thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God.
Of a babbling, shriveled, weeping invertebrate. Any god who can create life only in his own image must be either jealous or weak.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
So, September 17th is when the album is dropping, and it will be everywhere except for Amazon. But you'll be able to find it on Spotify, on Apple Music, on SoundCloud. I have one of those. I also have a Bandcamp where you can go and download it and buy it if you like. I'm actually going to be releasing the instrumentals from the album as well with any download of the album from Bandcamp. That'll be a nice incentive if people want to download it as well to get those free instrumentals, because I'm really proud of the instrumentals and I want people to really hear those as well.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
You have been listening to Toter O speaking about his latest album, Regenesis. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning. diddle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you? Or will it happen to any of you on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
Braden Dreger's shoegaze meets experimental indie punk shines in this latest EP, Since Calgary, by Braden's band T-Dream. The newest single, Sunday, features on the album. We have with us today, Braden Dreger. Hi, Braden, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a musician.
My name is Braden, born and raised in Regina, Saskatchewan. I'm also a teacher my other life is a teacher, but my first memories of playing guitar, I actually remember going to the States and getting like an Adam Levine signature first act guitar. And I brought it home and I just started learning Kingdom Hearts. The theme song for Kingdom Hearts which was a video game that I really liked. And I just like was on Ultimate Guitar, just learning tabs. That's kind of where I started, was learning video game intros. That's where I started.
Why is the band named T-Dream and how did the band form?
Yeah, so T-Dream, the reason why I like T-Dream is because A, I like drinking tea, and B, I'm heavily influenced by shoegaze music. So the other genre is dream pop. So it just kind of made sense to me, T-Dream. Plus, there was nobody on Spotify that had it when I searched up like artist names. In terms of the band, it was actually pretty much, it became a solo project. It actually started in the studio. That's kind of where I didn't have a band to start with. And the reason why I did Since Calgary was to get a band. And now I have a band. So it worked out.
Who is in T-Dream and what do you each player do?
I also work at School of Rock. I teach kids how to play music. And a friend that I met through there was Addison. He plays drums and he's pretty incredible at what he does. And then I have Kyle playing lead guitars. Kyle and I had played a show together, like not in the same band, but I used to play in an old band called Said Sadly that was also in Regina. And our first show was with him. And he was just like a solo artist that does a lot of looping and stuff. And it was just really cool. I really liked it. And then when it came time to looking for people to perform my stuff, I hit him up and he said he was down and that he liked the songs. And we've been playing ever since, kind of in the middle of finding a bass player. But right now, basically, I have the bassist from Said Sadly, my old band, Nolan. He's just filling in for the next couple of shows that we have. And he's also incredible at what he does. And really looking forward to the vibes that we're going to be sending out to people.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
This is Sunday on the Wednesday Morning After.
Thank you.
produced since Calgary, and what was it like working together?
I have a buddy, Chris Demas, and he's a buddy from high school. I knew of him, super helpful in the whole process, because initially going into the studio, I had a partner, and then they backed out on their recording day. And apart from, you know, being a teacher, it took 3 years to get Since Calgary done. So he was really helpful in just, you know, motivating me to keep going. And also all the stuff that he put into it, I was very thankful. But at the end of the day, it was like a roller coaster, essentially, of ups and downs throughout the entire recording process. He also put his own work into it. Like, he played the drums, he played some lead guitars. And like, I hired a session and another guy that I knew from high school, Nolan Grad, to play bass on a couple of the songs. And so they were just all super helpful with everything, because I was really just, I didn't have a band. It was a solo project at that point. Chris just really helped complete everything. He was the one that produced it, engineered, sound mixed, all that stuff, mastered it. So I'm super thankful that I got to work with him again.
One of the songs on the album is called Fourth Year. What is the story behind this song?
Fourth Year is kind of like a commentary on my experience in fourth year university. I started just dating a couple of individuals. So it kind of sings about that a little bit, but at the same time, if you listen to the chorus and hear the lyrics in it, it's where I find closure and understanding that, like, that part of my life is done and I'm moving on, essentially. That's basically, it's just like a sad boy breakup tune, really.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yeah, go for it.
This is Fourth Year on CKUT. We'll be right back. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
Since Calgary, my stuff is all on streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, all that stuff. It's on YouTube. Personally, on the Bandcamp, I have Name Your Price on, and all proceeds that go towards Since Calgary will go towards Regina Cat Rescue. So if you wanted to support me, I would appreciate even a dollar, because that dollar will go to a cause that I support. Yeah.
Thank you for your interview today.
Yeah, thank you, Sheila. It was nice.
You've been listening to Braden Dreger speaking about Tea Dream. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Throughout the pandemic, our kids have shown how strong, patient, and resilient they can be. But now, it's time for them to make memories again. With family and friends, with teammates, with peers. Vaccination against COVID-19 can help kids get back to being kids. Help protect your child and those around them. Book your child's vaccination when it's available to them. A message from the Government of Canada.
Sam's excited to see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket, and he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Full of moxie and ecstasy, Aradia is finally ready to release Soar, a 5-song EP kicking off her Elevator series, a collection of songs meant to uplift and inspire during these confusing times. With us today, we have Aradia. Hi, Aradia, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a music producer and musician.
So I'm Aradia. I hail from New York City metro area, and I'm an alternative independent pop music artist. And I've been playing and performing since I was a kid. I started with classical piano and flute, went on to play guitar, been playing music ever since. I wanted to have a whole orchestra at my disposal to make what was in my head real when it came to my music. So I taught myself how to produce from the time I was a teenager.
What is the story behind the Elevator series, and specifically Soar, your first release?
The Elevator series was born when I realized that I had a collection of songs, many that were written during the lockdown, that had the same message, essentially. Don't give up, trust yourself, and things will get better. The future is definitely going to be a better time. So I decided to put them all into one collection, but there were too many songs to release all at once. So I figured I'll do EPs starting with that series. I figured right now everybody needs a little pick-me-up, so I wanted to start there.
Who are your musical influences, and how did you form your unique sound?
My influences range from Jobim to Depeche Mode to Empire of the Sun and Jody Westernoff. So I'm kind of all over the place. But my own signature sound is built from a combination of synthesis and sort of 80s new wave and today's electronic dance music. I dial in my own synth patches and I blend that with crunchy guitar chords and essentially dance beats. I always want to create something danceable, but with a sort of face-punching, rock-infused intensity.
May we listen to some of your music?
Absolutely, I'd be honored. We can start with Fire off the EP.
Well, this is Fire on the Wednesday Morning After.
So fun.
Fire is a single off of your album. What is the story behind this song?
So Fire is sort of my anthem for bouncing back no matter what, tribulations of something like the COVID times. And this song woke me up at about 4 a.m. after a particularly tough time. And it was there in my head with all the lyrics and music, and making that song in the studio really brought me back to life and kept me inspired.
The title off of your album, Soar, is also a song that you have released. What is the story behind this song?
Soar is really a celebration of being ready to get back out into the world and being ready for the next chapter. Just knowing that you've been in a holding pattern and what lies ahead is what is really going to be what you've been waiting for. So I wrote that song also during tough times and used it as another way to keep myself going and also to cheer the people around me on.
Where will the Elevator series bring you this year?
Well, it's definitely going to have me recording more music, and it will hopefully have me performing a lot. I am doing a live stream show next Saturday, and I hope to be doing in-person shows very shortly. But for the most part, it's keeping me focused on this project and just getting my songs out into the world.
May we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely. I'd love that. We can listen to Soar, the title track off the EP.
This is Soar on CKUT.
This is right. Oh, I can't.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
Easiest thing to do is go to my official site, aradiamusic.com, where you can check out my merch and get links to all of my music on Spotify, Apple, any streaming platform of your choice, or you can go straight to Apple Music, Amazon Music, and Spotify.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for everything you do for the community.
You've been listening to Aradia speaking about SOAR and the Elevator Series. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and sound by Matthew Jackson on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal, or online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations warns 1 million Afghan children could face starvation without immediate international aid after the Taliban completed its sweeping takeover of Afghanistan last month. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke at a high-level UN donor conference in Geneva Monday.
The people of Afghanistan need a lifeline. After decades of war, suffering, and insecurity, they face perhaps their most perilous hour.
Monday's donor conference raised $1.2 billion in pledges for Afghanistan. The U.S., which spent over $2.3 trillion during its 20-year occupation and war with Afghanistan, pledged just $64 million in aid. On Capitol Hill, Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, telling the House Foreign Affairs Committee no one in the Biden administration predicted the Afghan government would collapse while U.S. troops were still in Kabul. During his opening remarks Monday, Blinken said by remaining in Afghanistan, the U.S. military would have only delayed the Taliban's inevitable takeover.
There's no evidence that staying longer would have made the Afghan security forces or the